Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM. A perfect weather in the capital. Looks like it's partly cloudy and also very nice cold breeze. And it was showing some sign of, of rain on my way here. I'm not sure if that was the rain really coming through or it's one of those things. That, the rain was just doing, was saying to me what we at some point became a trend in Rukwangari. There's a trend that was, very funny and it's still funny. It's, that goes something like, wakuspaza hanantare no yambo kandingapi. Get yourself a kapango friend. I don't think there's any, let me try to translate. I'm just, jeez, man. The thing is, it's slang. So, it's a, scaring you a little bit to see if you will jump or not. It's much catchier in Rukwangari. Just get yourself a kavango friend. But anyway, this is Home Run with Helmed, and I'm here until the hour of 6, as always, for those of you that are regular with Home Run. And if you are new, at least you know, we meet, here on Eagle FM with yours truly here. Helmut, from 4:30 to 6 to talk about, a lot of things, mostly economic and, financial, tech, politics here and there. A bit, I like to leave the political part and the social, discussion, mostly those ones that are mostly social. I like to leave those ones for my, Sunday show from 11 to 1, which is involves me making fun of, as always, of people with more money and, physical muscles and financial muscles than me. That's how I make my money. Now, today's discussion is around the word innovation. I know it's today's discussion was inspired by a discussion that was held in, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, from the 1st to the 3rd of December concerning, innovation around the technological use, the use of technology in agriculture. This is agriculture all across the continent, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, because, well, we are the ones that have arable land, because Northern Africa, I don't know, like those guys are just, desert as far as the eye can see. Now, for a continent that is, for a part of the continent, which is what sub-Saharan Africa is, sub-Saharan is a fancy way of saying under the Sahara. Which is where you get submarine things because, no one calls a ship a submarine now, do they? Because that will be like, upper marine. Sub means under. So those of you that did not go to private school, for those of you that, for those that went to private school and those that have friends that went to private school like yours truly here, but didn't go to private school, more often when you are having a conversation with your private, school friends, they know how to speak very, fancy English. That is more often used by scammers. To this day, I still maintain 90% of the scammers went to private school because their English is just too good. I've run into public and private officials that speak broken English, but I am yet to hear a scammer that speaks speaks broken English. They're always fluent. That means, the rich people's kids. Most of scammers are rich people's kids. Convince me otherwise. Now, before I start World War III on this continent, on this very socially touchy subject, it's not touchy. It's just a way to dive into African Union's digital agriculture. So the digital agriculture discussion took place in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia from the 1st to the 3rd of December 2025. Now that discussion was based on the last year's strategy that was in unveiled by the African Union, which is what they call the African Union Digital Agriculture Strategy DAS and implementation plan for 2024 to 2030. It turns out we have a digital agriculture strategy. Now, this was an awesome discussion, don't get me wrong, but there are a lot of things I actually disagree with. actually not a lot, just one, which is the foundation of the whole discussion. Digital implementation, digital agriculture is a very genius initiative. It's a genius initiative. Let's implement agriculture, let's implement technology in agriculture. Again, look, it's a very brilliant idea. But I would argue to some degree that we are missing a lot of things, especially on a subsistence farming level. A lot of subsistence farmers still use ox drone farming equipment, which is very concerning, because that takes us to the to some of the discussions. One discussion I had last week on industrialization, that there are steps to these things, guys. You don't just jump the broom and expect nothing to go wrong. Now, this is just my point of view before I get to the whole all of this literature. Now, last week on the discussion around industrialization for countries, if you look at the history of industrialization, there's a pattern that countries that have achieved the, a first world or modern industrialization or modern digital level of industrialization age, there is a pattern to this. One, soft skills. Soft industries leads to soft skills, aka you start manufacturing things that you can easily manufacture, things that does not have any very high demand in terms of skills and technological equipment for you to manufacture, like clothes, for example. You can start from there, and then those soft industries will build the need for soft skills. Those soft skills will then lead to that need for those skills will lead to the implementation of of TVET institutions. Those TVET institutions by trying to improve the to improve on the skills that they are producing and the equipment that are being produced based on those skills leads to the leads to the upgrade of those TVET institutions to academic institutions like universities, your technicons and all that. And if you look at the history of a lot of high institutions on the planet, not just in Africa or Namibia, one thing you'll realize is that they all started, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, including the ones that are, household names today, they started at vocational institution level. And then came Africans who were like, yeah, you know what? We are a very rare breed. We are an exception. Forget all these soft skills. Forget all this TVET. Forget research and development. We'll just go straight to building academic institutions, which we did. Bravo on that one. We nailed it. Except now we ended up, the reason why a lot of countries that have developed have followed that pattern is because they are, by following that pattern of industrialization in terms of development, they ended up building academic institutions that are based on the blueprint of their industrial needs. And then we woke up after independence, and then we decided, you know what, we are just going to build, we're going to skip all these stages and go straight to building academic institutions. And then we ended up building academic institutions that are not based on any industrial needs. It can be argued, and I'm making that argument based on one very controversial economic analytical guy. He's a South African, my favorite TikToker. Now you are going, is that all coming from TikTok? Yeah. Where are you getting, which part of TikTok are you on? Because one thing I like about, modern technology, especially those ones, the algorithm that social media is based on, is that they supply you with what you frequently search for. So, during the Congress, the TikTok Congress hearing in the US, one Congress member stood up and said that, the reason why he does, according to him, and I'm paraphrasing you, according to him, the reason why he did not like TikTok and he wanted it to be banned is that every time he opened his TikTok, he just saw a bunch of men twerking and everyone excellent point, Mr. Congressman. But we just have one small question. What have you been searching for, if we may ask? Because the way this algorithm works is that it supplies you with what you're frequently searching for. So if you are running into, if you open your FYP for you page on any social media platform, and it's just a bunch of men twerking, chances are very high you've been searching for that. No judging, we're just saying, actually, on if it was Sunday, I would be judging, but it's not Sunday, it's Tuesday, so let's not choose violence. So anyway, at the end of the day, because we did not follow that industrialization pattern that a lot of industrialized countries today, those ones that have achieved that industrial capacity that we can only dream of, they followed that pattern. We skipped that pattern and ended up, now, those ones that that have followed that pattern ended up building, you know, building technical institutions and academic institutions that are based on their, you know, that are based on their industrial needs in terms of skills. Because we skipped all those stages, we ended up building high institutions in that are just centered around academia, and the technical institutions are looked down on. If you went to a vocational training institution, everyone goes, "Hey, yeah, he just went to just run to vocational." You are not educated, and that is the perception around technical institutions almost across the African continent, and which is actually very sad, because every time that we talk about innovation. That perception on technical institutions is a curse, because it's one that is making us not understand the whole unemployment discussion, because we skipped a bunch of developmental stages in terms of industrialization, and then we went straight to producing PhD and master academic qualification holders with a bunch of guys in suits, unemployed but still in suits with fancy letters next to their names, except this, you know, the majors they have are not based on the skills that is based on the industrial needs of their respective countries. And as a result, as soon as they get those PhDs, AADs and STDs, okay, let's just stick to ST to PhD. They hop on a plane and leave the continent. Why? It's because we gave them the skills that we don't have the industrial need of. You can't blame them. Hi there, Dr. Disho, there by Germany. That was uncalled for. But anyway, where was I? That pattern, we didn't follow that. And that was last week's discussion. And that discussion feeds into yesterday's discussion. Now, I'm so proud of me. Now, yesterday's discussion was the pattern of rural to urban migration that's being observed globally in over 230 countries. The UN, by the way, that conducted that research. There are only about 190 something member states that are UN member states. Now, but the UN just decided to look at over 200 and something countries, most of them, their, you know, national sovereignty status is somewhat disputable. Commercial break.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
AFM. And welcome back. So, urbanization. Today's discussion is about agriculture and the use of technology, or the implementation or the incorporation of technology in agriculture in the African continent. Now, first of all, what's one point that we made yesterday about what's being observed in this, influx of rural to urban migration. It's impacting agriculture. So that then makes sense that the use of technology would come in handy in terms of making up for that, workforce shortfall that's being caused by this rural to urban migration. So if you can just get, take for example, one of those innovatively made tractors, then send it to your parents for them to use it, in their farming. So that you don't have to use those ox-drawn plows. Then you can be here hustling and they'll be using that machine as long as there's someone at home who is qualified enough to fix it. Now, when I decided to look into that, I came across one thing about, I found something interesting about one Asian country, Thailand. Asia is, Asia is this continent that's prone to flooding. And as a result, boats are a very big deal. In Thailand, they came up with a very ingenious way of customizing their boats. Instead of using a pedal, which is what I've been using, and it's what my father was using from his childhood. And that's what his father was using. You get the point. The point is, for the past 200 years, there have not been a lot of innovative ways of doing two things in Africa. One, crossing the river. And two, plowing and weeding. There have not been any innovation, not chemically, not mechanically. We are very good at mechanical, and by mechanical we mean workforce related, human resource centered. Now, if you go online and look for something called Thailand speedboats, those guys have revolutionized ways of water travel. These guys will take a whole V8 engine and then strap it in, behind a canoe. I don't know how they customize it, but boy, that thing is not running. That thing is flying. They customize it with twin tubers and the environmental climate change problem is very apparent in that department. Now, But if you just look up what Thailand speedboats look like, and you can just find a bunch of YouTube videos and just watch and basically look at how they are customized. That is what I call innovation. You will see innovation everywhere. In other words, at some point, they were just using a pedal to pedal their boats, like you and I. That's if you are from Kavango and Omsati. That whole crocodile wrestling thing. 2025 was very full of drama. But anyway, if you look up Thailand speedboats, you are going to see innovation in aquatic travel, water travel. They have customized it. But with us, since the 19 unknowns, we've been crossing rivers. Now, you're listening to someone who is, who knew how to swim before he went to school, before he knew how to pronounce the word book. Swimming, diving, paddling, paddling a canoe in any type of river current, I can do that. Actually, I haven't done that in like 5 years, so it's not something that you forget, actually. I don't know, for some reason. There was a time where I spent about five years without swimming. And then, when I came back to the river again, just hopped in there and the instinct kicked in, and for some reason you don't forget it. That's amazing of a human capabilities. But the innovation You know, that lack of innovation that I'm just using as an example for crossing rivers is the same lack of innovation we have in farming. Let's sit here and then just ask ourselves one very simple question. For how long have we been using an axe and a hoe? Ouch. Not the human one, the equipment one. The farming tool. Now, you get the picture. The point is, for how long have we been using a hoe for weeding and an axe for cutting a tree? And this is where I think Africa, you know, Africa's, you know, this is where Africa's knowledge transfer becomes, call it a blessing and a curse. Because now what we are looking at is, we are very good at transferring knowledge from one generation to another. When it comes to knowledge preservation, we are very good at it. Like, Mupinyi has been Mupinyi for a very long time in my culture. And an ox-drawn plow have been an ox-drawn plow for a very long time, which is an excellent idea. I'm told in some parts of the country they use donkeys for plowing. Yeah, we just use them for transport. Plowing, not much. We use the ox-driven one. Now the ox-driven one, a lot of countries, especially those ones that you find in Africa and some parts of the Middle East and also some parts of Asia, there are some that use horses, but for the most part, it's either donkeys or bulls. Actually, the castrated one, the uncastrated one, you know, have a way of thinking with the wrong head and as a way also becoming, you know, lazy. So, when we look at this basic lack of innovation in subsistence farming, it makes me look at the whole digital agriculture strategy and go like, "Eish! Look, I don't have anything against my continent. I'm just playing, for the most part, at least right now, devil's advocate." Innovation is not our strong suit. Knowledge preservation so that it can be transferred to the next generation. We rock at that. We are very good at that. So when you look at farming, to this day, we still use ox-driven or donkey-driven plows or drone plows. And sowing, you know, like in my culture, as a boy, when you grow up, you are, you know, from the time that you are born, that's why there's not a lot of gender confusion in culture, you know, in cultural things. From the time that you are born, if you are a boy, the roles that you are going to play are going to be looking after cattle, plowing, that's you. Sowing, cooking, not much. Now, if you're a girl, it's sowing, you have to know that. Growing up, my role from childhood was very clear, looking after cattle. My sisters never had to worry about looking after cattle because that's traditionally a boy's role. I didn't have to worry about cooking or sowing. Seeds when someone is plowing. No, that's who, you know, my sister's role. Fetching water, firewood, that's a mix. There's a little bit of flexibility there and fetching water. But, their roles are, they're leaning mostly towards one specific gender. That's across a lot of cultures. And not just in Africa, but across the planet. From the time that you are, from the time that you learn how to walk, you are trained, that is the role that you are going to play in society. That's the role that you are going to, to play in a society. If you are a man, that's the role you are going to play in society. If you are a woman, that's all. You gotta love culture. Now, when you look at it, how much innovation have taken place into sowing? Not just the sowing as in sewing. That would be past tense for sewing. Okay. But anyway, sowing as in, sowing seeds when someone is plowing. Because when someone is plowing, especially, you know, if you look at the traditional way of doing things, when someone is plowing those ox drawn plows, there's someone that is usually a man who is holding the plow and doing the plowing. And right behind them is usually a woman who is doing the sowing. That has been the case for about a million years. Innovation, not much. Now that I've finished complaining about that, let's look at some of the points that were made in this digital agriculture implementation on the African continent. By the way, that African digital agriculture strategy that started last year, the document was finalized somewhere in October 2023, but it was unveiled or made public last year. But this digital agriculture discussion took place in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, was the inaugural. In other words, it was the first of its kind, technology agriculture collabo that the AU have ever put together. So you can imagine the digital agriculture discussion had been going on for a while, and then a document was compiled and completed somewhere around October 2023. But then it was made available for public access last year. But at the first summit that's based on that document, which is African Union Digital Agriculture Strategy Implementation Plan 2024 to 2030. The first public discussion took place this year. Yeah. Now let's look at some of the things discussed.